Or do you want to just continue worship? Thank you for the worship this morning. Give the worship team a clap. And thanks, Nelson, for bringing your son. Have you ever eaten some food and 8 hours later you realize you shouldn't have eaten it? No, never, never. Well, I did. And I discovered that this morning. But there's a scripture that says, for the enemy intended for harm, God will turn it out for good. And in him, I'm more than a conqueror. But if you're a little white under the gills this morning, that's why. How many remember God's, how many remember the sermon from last Sunday? How many thought that was a good sermon Paul had last Sunday? Not even. But here comes the test. What was the sermon? Hope. Hope. Praise God. Well, today I'm going to talk about the Holy Spirit. I believe it's going to be a series on the Holy Spirit. But it starts with Romans chapter 8. It's called the Law of the Spirit. It's actually related to hope. But that'll just come later. There's quite a bit of scripture today. So I would like us to read it together. Is that okay? Is it okay if we stand and read it?
Do we read it? Therefore, are we reading it together? Let's try again. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory.
Thanks you for that good reading. You know, I have showed my jacket off. Showed how good looking I am with that jacket, so now I can take it off. I called the title of the sermon The Law of the Spirit. The Law of the Spirit. And it's contrasted with the law of sin and death. What is this law of the Spirit? Well, think of gravity. Before we go there, I'm just going to explain what I mean about the law of sin. It talks about sin and flesh, and it's referring to the same things. How many knows what flesh is? Okay, this body of mine is subject to the deteriorations of the flesh, right? I get gray hair, I got wrinkles, and my chest begins to sag into the drawer. And we all go through this process. And that is the law of something or other. But that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about, the flesh is actually something that is completely contrary to the things of God. So in Galatians chapter 5, it says what it describes flesh. The acts of flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambitions, dissension, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. That seems quite obvious. But let me tell you that there are other things in the Bible that also go in the same category of the flesh. And it's not near as obvious, such as worry, selfishness, such as fear, unbelief. So when I said this, now I'll describe what it means about the law of the spirit, law of the flesh. So the flesh is anything and everything that's contrary to God. It's a rebellion against God, really. And I want to use the illustration of gravity. If you have the law of gravity, that means that when you jump off the cliff, you land where? You land on the bottom. You land on the earth, right? The earth draws you. It pulls you. If you jump over an airplane with a parachute, you fall and you land on the earth because the earth pulls you. If you jump out of a tree, the same thing. We all know that. And it happens whether you believe it or not. But let me say the same thing with the nature of flesh. It draws you. It draws you into this black hole. And leads you away from God. So how many knows what I'm talking about? It sucks you down when you live in the nature, in the law of the flesh. It sucks you in and it leads to death. And when it talks about death, it's not talking about physical death, it's talking about solely spiritual death. You destroy your spirit. You destroy your soul. So to counteract the gravity of the law of flesh, you need something that has powerful. In the natural world, a plane is designed to overcome gravity. It has a motor, wings, a pilot, gauges, fuel, and it can soar. And I'm telling you that because the Holy Spirit is like that. It can help you soar above the gravity pull of the flesh that drags you into a life contrary to God. How many believe that's true? Let me share with you a story from the Old Testament, what this looks like. Because when you live in the Spirit, you have the mind of the Spirit. When you live in the flesh, you have the mind of the flesh. And sometimes, even as Christians, we can have the mind of the flesh. I tell my wife, when she's angry with me, "Honey, you're in the flesh." And she says, "No, this is just a righteous anger." I want to use an old story that's familiar with some of you. And the story is is of Moses and the slaves. Stories told in Exodus, Numbers. So, you see, the Spirit is the spirit of liberty and freedom. It's the spirit of life and freedom. How many read that here? It's the spirit of life and freedom. Well, these people were enslaved. And they've been slaves for 400 years. And in those 400 years, and this is my point number one, they heard a voice of a slave drivers on a daily basis who told them, you are nothing but a tool. You're useless. Your value exists only because of what you can do for us. How many believe that's true? That's a slave. That's how they lived. That's the voice they heard. And then they were told. Then they cried out to God. And God sent Moses. And when God sent Moses, he went to Pharaoh. He confronted Pharaoh as a type of Satan. He said, let my people go. And he led the people into the desert. They came against the Red Sea. And they turned around and they looked at the greatest army coming towards them. And they were stuck between the sea and an army that was about to kill them. It's called between a rock and a hard place. And then they responded in the flesh. They cried out to Moses and said, Moses, was there not enough graves in Egypt? And is that why you let us out in this place? And Moses heard from God and he said, be still and you'll see God's going to save you today. And God said to Moses, Moses, why are you crying out to me? I think Moses was anxious too. He said, take your staff and your hand and go down to the Red Sea. Stretch out your hand and it'll open it and you will not see this army again, ever again. So he did, went through. And when he went through and came on the other side, they were so happy. 3 days later, there's no food. There's no water. And what did they do? They respond in the flesh. And they grumble and complain against Moses. And God sends the manna and he sends the water. You go through the story of the slaves through the desert. And you'll find that it happens several different times that they respond in the flesh. Why did they respond in the flesh? Well, partly, and I would say this, partly because they had a voice that told them they were nothing but slaves. And even though you're free, even though you're free from Pharaoh, your mindset has not been set free. In 1865, the United States wrote a declaration that all slaves were to be free. The next day, all slaves in the United States could walk free from the slave drivers. Guess how many did it? Only a few. Because they could not, in their mind, see how they could provide for themselves and their families without being under the slave driver. Well, these people was told over and over again, you're nothing but a slave. And they had a hard time, my friends, to see God in the midst of it. So they responded in the flesh. Why am I saying this? Because I know many people grow up and they are told over and over again that they're stupid. I sat with a man, an elderly man, one time at a Bible study at the BC Cafe. And I talked about how some encounter as a child can mess us up for the rest of our life. I went into all kinds of details and I saw tears coming down his face. And I said to him, what happened to you? And he said, I went to grade one in council. And I was a left-handed. And the teacher came with a ruler. How many of you have ever experienced one of those rulers? And she went and whacked him on the hand and on the head and said, you're a stupid boy. And he's a 70-year-old man sitting beside me. And he had never told anybody. But he realized that that incident affected him to the extent that when he could, he left school, became an alcoholic, ended up in the military, got dried up. But it still tormented him 70, almost 60 some years later. So the slaves, my friends, may be free, but in their mind, they're still hearing the voice, "You're stupid and nothing." Now comes the point where they're going to enter the promised land. Their destiny is to go into Israel, modern day Israel, the promised land. They come to Jordan River. They send out, remember, 12 spies and 10 spies. Comes back and they say, "Yes, this is a beautiful country. There's milk and honey and bees and deer. And it's all good. However, there's a problem." And this, you'll never have said that part. The problem is that the enemy is giants and the cities are fortified. And there's no way we can do it. In fact, we look in Numbers 13. It says, they look at us as grasshoppers, which means they could squash us. And so they heard the bad report. And guess what happens when people hear bad reports? They gravitate to the bad reports. There were two with the good reports, Caleb and Joshua, who says, if God says we can do this, we can do this. Amen? So, they grumbled and complained. They reacted in their flesh. And Caleb and Joshua and Moses tore their clothes and cried out and said, "Please listen to God. If God says we can do it, we can do it." Who do you think was in the spirit? Caleb and Joshua. In fact, the Bible says God said that in Caleb there is a different spirit. It's called the Holy Spirit. Why was a different spirit in him? Because he focused not on the circumstances, but what God was saying. This morning, when I got up and I wasn't feeling too good, I had to say, "God, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to go to church today?" And I felt God says, "I'll be with you." Amen. So what am I saying? I'm saying that the three reasons that they were in bondage. Number one, they heard a voice for 400 years who told them they were nothing but useless slaves. Number two, they lived in fear. Fear is the opposite of faith. Number three, they misinterpreted the circumstances. Rather than interpret the circumstances through faith, they interpret the circumstances through the flesh. How many has ever interpreted the circumstances with fear and anxiety rather than faith? So the Spirit of God has come, my friends, to set us free from the bondage of the voices of the past. Set us free of fear and help us interpret the circumstances through the promises of God. Those cute little girls. So the Holy Spirit is the one who allows us to soar about circumstance. The Holy Spirit is the one who dwells in us. And he's our teacher. Unless the Holy Spirit is in this place, you will walk away with nothing from this sermon. Maybe you won't, but with the Holy Spirit, my friends, is the one who teaches you. And he opens the eyes of your heart to see the truth. So let me share a little bit about the law of the Spirit. You see, this Holy Spirit reveals to you the principles of the kingdom. How many believe that's true? And the first principle that we read in Romans chapter 8 is that Jesus is a sin offering. He broke the bondage to sin, to the gravity of hell, by paying the price. How do I know that? By the Holy Spirit. The second thing the Holy Spirit does in that same scripture is in Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Those who are led, if you don't mind going there, Romans 8, 14. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. How many believe that when the Holy Spirit comes in you, you actually receive a brand new identity? All the voices of your childhood that said you're no good, you're a failure, you can never amount to anything, you are a stupid boy. When the Holy Spirit comes and you allow him to whisper to you in your ears through the Word of God, he's saying to you, you are adopted. You are a son, you are a daughter of the King of Kings. You belong to me. You don't belong to your past. You're mine. I declare you free from the bondage of the past. I silence the voice of the enemy who says that you will never amount to anything because you are precious. I created you. I made you. I have a plan for your life. My friends, that's the work of the Spirit, to give you a new identity and a plan for your life. The Holy Spirit helps you roll up all the past and bring it to the cross. And you see, and you see, how many believe that all this is already done? Jesus did it 2,000 years on the cross. It's actually all already done. Everything for you to be free from the past and then into a glorious future with him has already been done 2,000 years ago. And all you need to do is to receive it by faith. And the Holy Spirit has sent by Jesus for you to help you receive. The Holy Spirit has been sent so you're not orphans anymore, but you're sons and daughters of God. You are loved by the Father. Now there are principles in the Bible that if you read it, the Holy Spirit reveals it to you. The Spirit, the law of the Spirit, is really also principles that God reveals to us. How many can think of principles in the Bible? They exist whether you believe it or not. Forgive and you'll be forgiven. Give and it'll be given unto you. What you sow is what you're going to reap. Those who embrace Jesus as the Savior will have eternal life. The Holy Spirit actually will come in you. I think that's pretty good news. So let me try to make it a little more practical. I read a book the other day about a guy called Paul. And Paul went to the doctor. It's like the slaves who went and say there is a fortified cities. He went to the doctor, and the doctor said, he's 50 years old. He said, you have cancer. You have, male kind of cancer. Prostate cancer. And it's level 9. I didn't know that was such a thing. Which means it was bad. So he, when you get that report, it's easy to respond in the flesh. And some of you who works in a hospital knows what that looks like. So he was thinking, God, what do I do? And of course, they prayed for healing, but no healing seemed to come. Then he remembered Bill Johnson. And Bill Johnson said, if you lose your voice, find it by reading the Psalms. If you're losing your the center of your faith, turn to Psalms. You'll find a psalm that will speak to you. I mean, you know, I know that's true. He turned to Psalm 16, verse 11, for example. You reveal the paths of life to me. Your presence is abundant joy. At your right hand is eternal pleasures. Or in Psalm 18, it says, I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. Those are promises of God that you can turn to gain strength and faith. So then he went to the pastor, Bill. He said, Bill, I'm being diagnosed with cancer, and they're going to operate on me in 3 weeks. What are you saying? And he asked this question. He says, what do you think this fight is all about? What do you think this fight is all about? And he said, I don't know. So then he prayed. Can you hang with me for one more minute? Then he prayed. And he said, and he felt God showed him that there has never been three male generations alive at the same time. There's never been three males from three different generations alive at the same time. His father had died. His brother had died. They never had this three males at the same time. He thought, wow. Somehow the enemy took them out, and now he's trying to take me out. 3 days later, his son phoned from England and said, Dad, I just let you know we are planning to have a child. And that gave Paul a desire to fight. That one day he will stand in front of the church being three generations from his family. You need a motivation to fight in the spirit. 15 months later, first of all, I want to tell you that he had a surgery. He lives to write the book. And 15 months later, he stood on the stage of the church with three generations. His son and a grandson. And he said to Satan, what you intended for harm, God intended for good. So Paul talked about, my friends, in a nutshell, living in the Spirit is really turning to God in the midst of the crisis and saying, what are you saying, Jesus? The world says I'm stupid and no good for nothing, but what do you say, Jesus? Your marriage is coming apart, but what do you say, Jesus? When you live in the Spirit, you begin to turn everything over to the Spirit. And when you turn everything over to the Spirit, God begins to guide you and lead you in an amazing, miraculous ways. I'm looking at some of the miracles when I preach this. I'm looking at some of you. Amen? So if you want to walk in the Spirit, my friends, get your eyes off your circumstances and get your eyes off to God. Can I say one more thing about that? When you are in a conflict with a person, get your eyes off the person and get your eyes on to God. And ask God, what are you saying about this person? When we respond in the flesh, we respond in against God's will. So Lord, I thank you, Jesus. I'm going to ask Renee to come in. So Lord Jesus, I thank you for everyone in this place. And I ask you, Lord, to give us a greater understanding of what it means to live in the Spirit. What it means to turn to you in the midst of circumstances and ask you for your insight, for your promise. When you hear the voices of the enemy who wants to destroy us, Lord, help us to ask the question, who are we in your eyes, God? When fear is wanting to overtake us and anxiety because of circumstances or bad reports, Lord, help us to find the promises in the Psalms and in the Word, God, that could get our hearts in line with you. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, following you, being led by the Spirit, is really having our eyes open to all that you have for us and walk in obedience. So, Lord, I pray you will help us to do that in Jesus' name.